afternoon and welcome to another edition of Hockey the Podcast. We are here in Durban. We are at the Riverside Hotel. We are here for the Indoor Africa Cup, the cup that will decide the place for the African competitor at the Indoor Hockey World Cup in Belgium. In 2022, of course, it is a delayed tournament, a tournament that should have taken place already a year ago. But COVID paid to that, and we had to wait. But at last, it is here. Heading into this tournament, this is the Blitzstocks that we are looking at this afternoon, or whenever you listen to this. It might be evening, it might be morning, but it'll be whenever it is. We are chatting now. We've got two of our debutants in the room with me. They are debutants for the indoor team. One of them has worn national colours before. They have played for the country. The other man has to go home after the game and do his homework. So Bongomusa Mngoma and Dan Sibbald, welcome to Hockey the Podcast.
Yo, it's nice. It's good to be here and enjoying our time.
Enjoying the time off from school?
Yeah, definitely.
I heard that your math teacher sent you some homework to do. Is that true?
Yeah, she did.
Bongs, I mean, let's start with you. I mean, you're a young man, you're still at school, but you have the opportunity this week to play your first test cap for South Africa. I mean, it must feel very special.
Yeah, it is a special moment, you know, coming back from how I grew up and having to play for a national team at my age, you know, it's a really special moment, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and obviously you're a keeper, so obviously that if you make mistakes, they're highlighted. How are the nerves feeling ahead of the tournament?
I've been like really nervous, but then I've spoken to some of the players. They've advised me on what to do, and they've advised me to just keep my head cool, keep my head down, and go through the process.
And obviously there's no spectators, so they're going to have to watch you on the Raider Media feed or on Watch Hockey, the app. A little bit disappointing that your friends and family can't be there to watch you.
Yeah, it's fine, but then, at the end of the day, we're still playing for each other. That's more important to all of us, and it's a bummer, but we'll get through it.
Brilliant stuff. Of course, the other man making his debut is not a stranger to South African hockey. You have a whole bunch of caps in the outdoor setup, Dan, but this is your debut. It must be quite nice with that bit of experience that you're able to have another debut in your career.
Yeah, how's it, Tyron? Thank you for having me. On the question, yeah, definitely. I think the biggest part of it was maybe coming into this camp with just a little bit less nerves, knowing what to expect. Obviously, it is a new setup, but I didn't feel the nerves. But slowly, as the tournament creeps on us, I can feel the nerves a little bit.
And I mean, Dan, obviously, you made your name in South Africa as an outdoor player, as a man who really could dominate from coming in from the wide. You know, really skillful hands, and you always seemed like a player who was made for indoor hockey, but it's only in recent seasons. And of course, you did something rather remarkable at the last IPT, in that you were playing for the KZN third side, the Robins, and got selected all the way from the third side for KZN to the national team. I mean, that must be quite a nice feather in your cap, even though there is a bit more to the story than you were not just selected for the Robins.
Yeah, I think, especially in Durban, I've taken indoor more of like a social route, or more for like a fitness and just to stay in the hockey circle. It's been difficult to juggle the outdoor and the indoor. So I actually wasn't meant to play RPT, and someone pulled out, and it was in Durban. So I just jumped on board, took the opportunity, thoroughly enjoyed it. Got a call up to the setup, and that's how it started.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, obviously a different kind of news. There was a very much against the expectations. Playing for the Robins is often seen as more of a social thing. There's nothing social about this week. How are you feeling about the tournament?
Yeah, like I said, the nerves are definitely creeping in. But coming into the setup, the guys in the indoor team now, is they've made it really comfortable, and I haven't felt the pressure, or I haven't felt like it. We're here and we've proved it, so it's just about performing now. So, I'm really excited.
I mean, Bongs yourself, we're playing at Thomas Moore College, TMC, and that's Thomas Moore, not Thomas Moore. Thomas Moore College, it is an outstanding facility. What have you made of the facility and the training session so far?
You know, we've been playing there for quite some time now, coming from the club hockey and all of that. So I've gotten used to the surface, I've gotten used to like the way I can touch the ball on the surface, the way I can kick the ball. So I'm fairly comfortable on the surface, and yeah, it's going to be a good time, I think.
Yeah, obviously your opposition this week, not Riverside College, not Varsity College. It's Namibia and it's Botswana.
Yeah.
We know a little bit more about Namibia from PSI. You've played against some of the guys when you played. You know, what's it like going up against these guys that you've played hockey against before?
I don't know how to put it in words, but then I can say it's going to be a good time because, like, whenever we play against each other at PSI, it's always competitive. And, yeah, we just... always competitive on the pitch, and it's always fun and all, and then, yeah.
And Bongs, obviously, somebody has just, Bong Musa is sitting under the aircon and he's just been spat on. I think that was one of the Botswanans just here trying to throw you off. But, yeah, Botswanans, Dan, unknown quantity. Have you guys managed to see some video? I know they did come out and play some of the Durban clubs about a year and a half ago. I mean, how do you guys approach something like that, where you really don't have much information on the opposition?
Sure, we haven't spoken too much about Botswana. I know our coach Hackers briefly mentioned it yesterday, saying, you know, if they come down here and they deserve 20, we're going to give them 30. But yeah, I think it'll be naive to underestimate them, and yeah, take it first 5 minutes and go from there.
Yeah, I remember watching them play against, I think it was Crusaders and then Kersney when they came here. I remember seeing Tefo Matabolo, who is, I think, the vice captain. I'll know this by tomorrow when I'm talking on the stream. But I remember seeing some really incredible hands. And Bongs, it must be great to see African hockey, indoor hockey specifically here, growing and more nations participating. Yeah. Obviously, Zimbabwe are a really good team, not able to come due to funding. But it must be something to look forward to, and also more caps available then. So, Bongs, I mean, you also are a very popular man on social media. We've seen this. He literally posts a picture of his toe, and it's not even his toe, and he gets 1,700 likes per second. Do you feel that pressure of your fans back at home watching, supporting you, or is it more of encouragement?
Just a bit, but yeah, it's a bit more of encouragement because I've been getting messages through social media of people saying congratulations, good luck for AFCON and all of that there. So yeah, it's a bit of both.
And Bongs, I mean, obviously, because people aren't in the crowd, I know exactly when I'm going to be on camera when I do the interviews. So I have a specific cap that I'm wearing on certain days for my son, my 5-year-old son, Callum. He is going to watch, and when he sees the cap, he knows it's a signal for him. What signal are you going to do for your friends at home watching?
So I take my fingers, and then I pull my third finger down, and then I just do this with my third finger.
Nice.
Okay,
so it's like, for those who watched Happy Gilmore, it's like Shooter McGavin, but more cool, more hip-hop friendly. For those who have no idea what I'm talking about, it's like Mesut Ozil did for Arsenal. But he didn't do that for the last 3 years. That's from an Arsenal fan. And Dan, and obviously, there's a chance that you're going to get yourself on the score sheet, and maybe even, who knows, if it's a great week, overtake your outdoor total. What's the trademark goal celebration?
Sure. I don't think I have one. I think I'm definitely going to maybe plan a team one with a teammate, maybe a roommate.
So who is your roommate?
Gabs.
Okay, so you and Gabs are going to plan one. Bongs, if you do get a chance to take a penalty stroke or something, because that's the only way, and you score, I think we should get you to commit that. What do you reckon? I reckon we can get him. You got to do the Cristiano Ronaldo, you know that? Okay, if you get a penalty stroke, you got to beg to take it.
All right.
And if you do it, you've got to do... if you score, if you miss, you're not allowed to celebrate.
Yeah.
Or if you save a penalty stroke, you've got to do one of those.
All right.
Done. This is the challenge. You've heard it here first on Hockey the Podcast. Bongi Musa will be doing the Cristiano Ronaldo celebration if he saves or scores a penalty stroke. Guys, obviously we are also playing in a bio bubble. We're playing under COVID protocols. It means things are a little bit different from the norm. Bongs, obviously you don't know the norm, but Dan, how have you experienced it? Have you experienced it differently from other times you've been with national teams?
Yeah, it's been challenging. The guys have had to be pretty conscious about what they do on their free time. I know going into camp, like, the guys wanted to maybe meet or get out of the hockey like environment for a bit, but that obviously has been a challenge and not really looked upon. So yeah, it's been difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all sit and experience it in different ways. But I'm glad that we are here, Dan. I'm here. I get to watch it. So I will make sure that people at home get to hear what's happening. Bongza, obviously it's not the first time you're going to play in a South African shirt. You did play in that little series up in Johannesburg with David Joshua.
Yeah.
Obviously now it's Ryan Hack. How's the changeover for you as a young player been?
It's been alright. You know, I'm a player that's able to develop with everything that's going on and around me. So yeah, it's been alright. I've been talking to Ryan Hack about the game plans and all of that. How to get the defenders to shift into a back three and all of that. So it's been alright. I've been able to handle it. And yeah.
And I mean, Bongs, has it hit home yet? I mean, if you look down at your chest right now, if I look down, I see a Raider golf shirt. Even though I'm on the hockey podcast, my bad. You see that pro tier over your chest, indoor hockey underneath it, on your head, that pro tier. I mean, has it hit home? You are a South African athlete.
Yeah, it is. Really, yeah.
I know this is just audio, but if you could see the smile on this man's face, it is Colgate worthy. Colgate, if you're listening, get this man a sponsorship. You know, hockey guys earn a lot of money, but they're definitely open to a bit more sponsorship.
Mm.
Speaking of which, you don't always get the opportunity, but any sponsors that have backed you in your journey that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, first sponsor, which is Mercy and Hockey. Yeah, they've really looked after me in terms of my goalkeeping kids. They've really kept me on the ball, and yeah, I love the kids so much. And the second one is Easy Massager, and they keep my body clean, and it's been alright. So body's been smooth.
Yeah, absolutely. I myself don't use Easy Massager, so I can't shout out for them. But I've heard they're really good, and the way I saw Jethro Eustace walking through here with only a small limp, we know it would be a lot worse. I mean, Dan, yourself, sponsor-wise, anyone that has helped you in your journey?
Yeah, of course. I definitely wouldn't be here without my mom and my dad. They obviously have sacrificed hugely. And then my stick sponsor, Princess, Jack Tonneson. They've been really good to me, I think, since my first year leaving school. So, yeah, a massive thank you to all of them.
Absolutely. I don't know who you're talking about, this Jack and Princess, but I am wearing my Princess mask right now while I social distance. Gents, usually on the Hockey the Podcast, we wrap up an interview with a one-question quiz, but I'm going to do something a little bit different. And at the end of the tournament, we are going to come back to it and see who was right. And if the answer's taken by one, the other one can't use the same answer. I want you to have a guess. Who would be South Africa's top goal scorer this week?
Mustafa Kassim.
Okay, so Mustafa Kassim has got the bet on him from Bongs. Dan, you can't go for Mustafa, so
I'm going to have to go with my roommate, Gabela.
Yeah, there we go. So Dan is backing Gabs. Bongs is backing Mustafa. And that's probably a good time for me to say thanks, gents. Good luck for this week. And let's bring those Kassim brothers in next.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, bro.
All right. So that was Bong Musa Mgoma. I'm making up a new surname here for him. Dan Sebelt, both are going to play their debut caps for the Blitzstocks in the African Indoor Cup, or the Indoor Africa Cup as it is correctly known. But now we've headed from a pair of debutant brothers to a pair of blood brothers. It is the hockey sensational duo of Kasim. It is none other than Dayan and Mustafa. Welcome, bro.
Oh, thanks so much. So good to be here. Yeah, thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
So what many of the listeners won't know is the three of us have had a chat before. We did it for the African Hockey Summit. And Dayan, you and I were very good with our internet, but Mazi kept getting kicked off because he'd used up all his data on TikTok.
Yeah, I agree with that. No, I don't agree. Yeah. Maybe ask Ryan Julius about TikTok.
No, look, Ryan Julius, apparently the reason he couldn't get back from Holland now is because he spent all his money on TikTok data.
Fair enough.
But Mazi, I mean, obviously we're getting into a nice light-hearted start. We are now in KZN, and this is where a lot of your followers are. What's it like being here and being ready for the Indo-Africa Cup?
Yeah, like I said the other night, obviously just so good to be back with the boys. And yeah, like we would have thought we would have been here after the last year and a bit, just with COVID and everything. But yeah, just so excited, and you know, like getting goosebumps just sitting and chatting to you about the whole process going forward.
Obviously, Dayan, you debuted before your brother with the outdoor team. There wasn't much indoor, and you guys had the really cool opportunity of making your debut together in the Switzerland series. How frustrating has the past 18 months been that there really hasn't been much time for hockey?
Yeah, definitely it's been frustrating. We haven't had any hockey for, you know, 18 months, as you said. And also, like, training all the time and not being able to play any games is frustrating because it looks like you're working towards something, but you don't know what's going to happen. And now finally we're getting the opportunity to play in the African Cup of Nations to qualify for the World Cup next year, February in Belgium. So I think, yeah, we just have to stay positive and move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been good to see. I mean, obviously, you guys have shared some of the videos and you've at least had each other to do a little bit of that lock floor skilling against each other. Which brother is currently leading the lock floor battle?
Scores-wise, I think they are myself, and then with the skills and all of that, Dayan's ahead. Very skillful.
I mean, but it must help having a brother as good quality as you are to practice with at home.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said previously, it's always good to have competition. You know, other people doesn't have siblings like I have, and also my dad. So it's really cool to have people that knows about hockey. Yeah, if you guys don't know, my brother did move to Durban, so I don't have anyone now. But yeah, hopefully my dad, I can play around with him a bit.
And obviously we were going to come to the Durban now. I didn't know if we were allowed to talk about it, but Dayan has let the cat out the bag. Yourself, obviously COVID has really frustrated with the opportunity to get back to Mönchengladbach. Is there any more clarity coming up?
Yeah, at the moment it's really tough. I spoke to our coach, indoor coach, yesterday about different offers I got from different teams. Like in Holland, Almere, Belgium, Leuven, and Mönchengladbach, Harvesterhude in Germany as well. Yeah, it's a bit tough with COVID because I know I got news last night that the league is stopped in Germany. So, yeah, unfortunately nothing going my way there. But, yeah, I'm happy to be playing again. You know, like I said, 18 months without hockey and yeah, finally get the opportunity to play. So I think I put that overseas one side and now just focus on, yeah, playing for South Africa.
It's an interesting point that you make because obviously your team is without Jared Jones and Ryan Julius, two phenomenal players, and obviously some other players have got the opportunity to come in their place. But because of COVID, it's a bit of an obscene one that you know, they can't get back to South Africa and get back overseas, so they can't represent their country because of that. How much is their absence felt in the squad?
I think, yeah, like we've been having a good couple of chats over recent times, and I think obviously we're definitely gonna miss the boys. I think just Ryan Julius and Jared Jones, very good hockey players, amazing people, and yeah, their presence are definitely gonna be missed. But I think they need to back the boys. I think we have a quality squad and strong squad, and it's competitive. And yeah, we are backing ourselves to go over all the way.
Obviously, the country's backing you to go all the way. I did ask Bong Musa and I asked Dan to pick their top goal scorers of the tournament. I am going to ask you the same, but you're not allowed to pick the players that they've picked. So Bongi chose Mustafa and Dan chose Gabela. So who are you putting down? And I'm only talking about the South African guys.
For me, I'd have to go with Dayan or Jethro Eustace.
Okay, you've got to pick one, though.
Oh, okay. A tough one.
Dayan doesn't have one.
I'll go with Yanni.
Okay, so Yanni, your butt's going with you. Who are you going with?
I think I'll go with Jet. Back him all the way. He's been banging goals in our warm-up game, so yeah, back him all the way.
Now, the two of you are also part of the Outdoor Olympic squad, obviously hoping to get to Tokyo. Are you able to separate those dreams right now and just focus fully on the task at hand?
Yeah, definitely, because at the moment we don't know what's going to happen with the Olympics, so our main focus is, or my main focus is just to do well for the SA indoor team and make sure that we go to the World Cup, because there's a lot of players out there that wants to be here. So yeah, this is the opportunity that we have at hand, and we just have to take it, and yeah, hopefully we qualify.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the right approach. Take the opportunity at hand, and it is a great opportunity. I mean, obviously, Belgium in February, we don't know what's going to happen with COVID. We don't know if the World Cup will get postponed again, but we've got to take each step as it comes, and at least the opportunity is here to test yourself. I mean, a year ago, this was postponed, then cancelled. We didn't know. The SA men were in a weird position because if the tournament didn't happen, we qualified. But now because it happens, we've got to go qualify. Where do you sit? Would you have preferred the qualification wrapped up, or do you want to go and win this?
No, for sure. I think definitely having the opportunity to play, I think it's good for especially our ladies, giving them an opportunity and giving every other nation equal opportunity to, you know, play for that and not just get a easy ticket to go to the World Cup. And I think the boys are really, really excited to, you know, earn our spot and not just everyone saying, yeah, the SMN got put through. But, yeah, we definitely are here to qualify and, you know, just earn our spot going into the World Cup next year.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Muz, it was brought up by Yanni. You are now a KZN Raider, although you haven't played for them yet. You are now based here. What brought the decision to move over to KZN?
Yeah, so COVID happened, and I think for me, I just chose something that is going to allow me to grow as a player and as a person. And they say that change is always good for growth, and I'm so happy and privileged to be a part of Varsity College Hockey, the Snakes. So shout out to them. And yeah, just, you know, change of scenery. I've been at Western Province for 18 years, and I think that the move was definitely coming, and just to add value to KZN, I think it's going to be really good.
And I mean, it would be amiss if we didn't talk about it. You're at Varsity College now. That means you're under the tutelage of a former indoor and outdoor legend in Wade Payton. How much of an impact did that make on your decision making?
A lot. I think I spoke to Wade before, and I knew that he's done this before. He's played over 100 caps for SA, and he's been to a World Cup before, and I think just to have him as a role model and a person to look up to on and off the field, it's just unbelievable, and you know, you can't describe it. And yeah, that was based around my decision, or a lot around my decision, and yeah, just so grateful to have him around.
Sorry, I'm getting away from Jillian Amwanish here. She's part of the Namibian side. And Wade obviously was part of the men's team that in 2017 went to Swakopmund, formed a great relationship actually between him and Rustin Abrahams, and also brought out the best in Ryan. Do you guys look to do that? I mean, Yanni, I know we've spoken about this offline before, but how much do you like bringing other players into the action more than just taking the glory for yourself?
I think, yeah, at the end of the day, if I score a goal, it's not me, myself, but it's the team, because the team put in all the hard work for me to score. So I think it's really cool to have other players around you that can also contribute to a goal or to assist. So yeah, like the youngsters we have right now, it's amazing. Like, it's just not, I know back in the days or in the past, at Barracudas or other teams, it was always about my brother and I, you know, because they would say, like, just do your thing. But now, because we're in a national setup or a professional setup, everyone's on the same level. So that's really cool.
And Yoni, I mean, there are rumors that won't go away. Mustafa has vouched for these. But the rumors are that you will be playing for Eastern Gauteng and moving up to the East Rand next year because you don't want to play for Western Province anymore. Is that true?
No, it's not.
So Jason Voigt and to the Eastern Gauteng board, you can't say I didn't try. Obviously, for now, without going over to Europe, Western Province is still home for you for now?
Yeah, definitely. I like Western Province, and they have done a lot for me. So yeah, I'm staying to where I think is best.
So how exciting is the prospect of a Raiders West Province matchup?
I think it's going to be a good game, especially playing against my brother. It's going to be cool, and yeah, it's just going to be an amazing experience. I'm going to beat him, though. I put my head on it that I'm going to beat Raiders. Western Province going to beat Raiders.
Sorry, just to interrupt, I think I'm 1-0 up after PHL. Just like to put that out there.
He is 1-0 up, but we do have Western Province did win 2 titles in a row.
But I was also going to say, isn't that the PHL that's the caveman won, though?
No, the Dragons.
and guys, obviously, we're playing against Namibia. You know the Namibian guys well. PSI is a big part of your life, and the Hawks and Eagles were a big part of your competition. Botswana are largely an unknown quantity. You haven't really played against them before. There's very little information out there about them. How do you go about preparing for playing the unknown?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to, you know, I don't know, like, say what it's going to be like. I think the focus was mainly just on doing what we can. Playing against the underdog or someone that you don't really know is always tough. But I think the boys and, you know, the coaching staff, such as Justin Rosenberg and Ryan Hackers, we just try to focus on what we can control and do what we need to do. It's not putting our focus on Namibia or Botswana. And yeah, it's not going to be an easy ride. It's going to be tough, and that's what makes it so exciting to be able to play in Africa and, you know, play against the likes of Namibia and Botswana, not knowing what is going to happen. And yeah.
The next 18 months for the two of you is action-packed. Muzi, I mean, you've got the potential of an under-21 World Cup, under-21 qualifier. I know you were not available if it had happened in August. Both of you have the AFCON up for grabs, possibly the Olympics, possibly the World Cup. How do you fit it all in?
Yeah, I think we just have to take it step by step. Like I said previously, we don't know if Olympics is going to happen, and at hand now we do have African Cup. So yeah, I think my main focus is to get past this hurdle and then move on to the next, and yeah, hopefully we can go to the Olympics and hopefully we can go to the World Cup, which will be cool because then our dreams came true. So yeah, excited to see what happens in the next 18 months.
And I put a challenge out there to Bongs and to Dan. And I think it's only appropriate that we ask you first, and then we put a challenge out there for you. Is there a trademark goal celebration?
Me, not really. No, not for me.
It's tough because Ryan's not here, but if he was here, there would have been like nice TikTok moves, but unfortunately not. We're just going to go on and just...
Okay, so the challenge is, in one of the games, you guys can decide, but in one of the games, if you score a goal, and obviously, like, it's a comfortable result at that point, you need to grab two or three players and reenact some TikTok move, some sort of TikTok move. We'll get it on camera and we'll send it over to Ryan Julius to make sure he sees it.
I'd definitely get Dan Sibbald involved. I think he'd be keen. He has some good ideas for sure.
Yeah, Jethro and Justin, not as much. Yeah. Justin, you'll have to explain what TikTok is. But no, so there's the challenge. One TikTok dance is a celebration at some point.
100%.
But it has to be Friday or Saturday. We're not playing around with Sunday if we forget there.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right, guys, last thing from your side. Any sponsors that have been really great for you over your personal journey that you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, definitely Tyler, and also to Bravo for supporting us. I think it's always cool to get sponsored by these people, especially during this COVID times. It's difficult for most people, but with their support, they've been able to contribute to us. So yeah, really shout out to them.
Also a shout out to FNH Hockey for, you know, just contributing and just hooking us up with proper kit and for looking after us. And yeah, like Yanni said, shout out to Robert Taylor, and yeah, their support has been amazing. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at Yanni sitting here in a Taylor shirt with the South Africa Pro Tier emblem proudly on the chest, and looking forward to the action getting underway. Of course, no spectators are allowed at the venue, but the games are being streamed live on Watch Hockey, the app, as well as on the Raider Media YouTube page. It's free of charge. Watch it, follow, see who's going to represent Africa at the Indoor Hockey World Cup. We've heard from the South African side. It's only fair that I bring in Namibian next as we wrap up the preview next. Gents, thanks so much. Looking forward to the skills, the tricks, the through the leg pass, and of course the TikTok celebration dance.
Thank you so much for having us, Sitai. Have a good one.
Thank you, gents. You are still here with Hockey, the podcast, and Tyron Jabu-Barnard. We've heard from the South Africans. This is take two, because I maybe hit stop instead of pause. My bad. So I'm going to ask my guests to just repeat their brilliant answers so far. I will take a fine for this. But joining me now, Cody Funamava and Captain Fantastic, DJ Strauss, to talk now about the Namibian Challenge. Gents, great to have you here, and obviously you must be absolutely stoked to be getting underway.
Yeah, definitely. As I said, we've been here since Sunday, and we getting used to the court and getting ready for the tournament, but now we're really itching to play, and the boys are very excited and very keen.
Yeah, and Cody, I mean, obviously, I brought it up originally, they're an old tradition of shaving the heads for the new caps. But why I bring it up, why I like, is that this is a team that is founded on the basis of a team values. Is that still the case? And are the team together, you know, in terms of the team values?
Yeah, 100%. I think more so, instead of the physical of actually shaving it off, there is still that building up of coming in the hierarchy of those that have more experience. And I think because they've set that trend over the years, that tradition is still very well and alive in our team, and I think the boys are all finding their place and everyone is doing well and doing their job. So unfortunately we don't have any cheese cups, but the boys are all keen and everybody knows their place, and I think the vibe in the team is good.
And Cody, I mean, just because you said it earlier but it wasn't recorded, and DJ was my witness that you said this, it is true that if Namibia qualify, you will be getting a tattoo on your chest of DJ's goalkeeper glove, correct?
I think we're still debating about whether it'll be his glove or his stick, but yeah, we'll have to chat about that one later.
I mean, DJ, obviously coming into this series, you are an experienced player. You've been around for a while now. You've played as an all-star at the PSI. You've played with the best in the world. You've played against the best in the world. But you're also taking on the added role of captaincy. How have you adapted to that role within the team?
I actually tried to. Of course, it's a great honor being captain of your country's team, and I try not to change too much. I don't want to impact my game, and I think my game has always been the same as it is, performing under pressure and playing well. And I really just want to strive that through to the boys. If they see me play, they see what I do, they must be inspired and be able to follow the lead. And in a sense, not changing much, just be who I am as a hockey player and as a person.
Yeah, and what I can say is I've known DJ for probably about 6 or 7 years now through PSI. This is a man who, at the biggest time, is usually when you get the best performance from him. What is it about the big stage, DJ, that brings out the best in you?
That's a difficult question. I think a lot of my experience came from when I was playing in Germany. And it comes from there where the pressure is always high. You cannot let your guard down at all, and I adapted that to my national team. And I think about 80% of my playing ability is just knowing I play for three things. That is my country, my team, and my God. And that has always been our, as a team, our highest gratitude goes to those three things we play for. We do not think about ourselves. We just think about each other and the whole of the massive support we have back home as a country. That's what we, why we play, and that also depends on how we play.
Cody, obviously, Jerica Cormack, or Jerica Bartlett, but Jerica is involved in the men's setup. There are some, and I don't need your comments on this, there are some that think she should still be involved in the women's setup, but she's decided to hang up the playing stick now, and she is assisting on the coaching side. What's it like having her? I mean, because a lot of you would have played in Hawks and Eagles teams with her. You know, what is the dynamic having her as an extra set of eyes along with Trevor?
I think it's good. It's the first time as a team that we've had an actual assistant coach. And, yeah, just the fact that her and Trevor gel well, and she really assists him, and she looks from areas that he might not always see, and the fact that we have previous relationships with her, from PSI, she's able to also hit us on a deeper level in certain areas that Trev wouldn't always, because he's more sometimes on the analytical side, and she gets us. And I think she's also here to just handle some emotion and make sure everyone is good in the head. So, yeah, it's been just a great addition to the team.
Absolutely. Another great addition to the team is, and please, I apologize if I get this wrong, but MTC?
Yes, MTC.
Yeah. MTC, I mean, it must be absolutely great, DJ, to have a sponsor come on board and back the team like they have.
Yes, definitely. I said it when we got our national colours at the Sports Commission in Namibia. I've been playing for the Namibian men's, or been part of the Namibian men's, for close to 15 years. And this is literally the first tour we ever went on that we actually had complete and utter full sponsorship. I mean, our kit looks amazing. The flights here were amazing. The place we're staying at is amazing. We have the best management in Mary Hansen, and the best coach we can ask for. And for the first time, really, we as players can only focus on hockey and what we need to do on the field, and not worry about any financial restrictions or any of the above. And it's really fantastic.
It is so great to hear. There's a good African hockey story. I do like that you're complimenting Mary Hansen, because she's standing over your shoulder with a stick and a fork. But of course, it's great to see. I mean, I've been a little bit with the team in 2017 and 2019, and it's clear that the family values come through. It's a team that don't just treat each other as teammates; it's a team that treat each other as family. Cody, is that how you experience it in the team?
100%. Yeah, I think there's some of us that have been together since grade one, playing hockey since like under seven, and I think the thing is we eat, we sleep hockey, and we've been doing that together, and it's great to be able to play with your friends, and it just makes it so much more enjoyable, because we're not only playing as teammates but as friends, and the dynamic on and off the field is great. So yeah, 100% of family, and I think that just shows itself on the field, the way we play together. So yeah, it's just a positive.
Obviously, you answered this question really well the first time when I wasn't recording, but I want to ask it again, because you answered so well, so hopefully you can remember what you said. But you're playing South Africa, you know the South Africans, you've played against them at PSI, you played against them at national level, and you're also playing Botswana. Botswana themselves are very much an unknown quantity. How do you guys prepare for that?
Well, as I previously mentioned, I think thankfully Trev throughout the years has set great foundationals and principles, as he likes to call them, for us as a team and as a country, and what we always revert back to and what our foundation is of the way we play. And I think we're just going to go out and try and apply that and the game plan that he has set out for us, and enjoy it and take it from there and see what happens.
Take it from there. Obviously, there is no Zimbabwe due to COVID, financial, they just cannot afford. Disappointing?
Yeah, definitely. We've known Zimbabwe over the years between our Namibian and Zimbabwean relationship. And them coming onto the indoor scene in 2017 and after that where we went to go play them again, it's really, and they've improved. And it's always good to see. I mean, if Namibia hasn't been playing against SA since 2014 in so many matches, I don't think the improvement wouldn't have been there. And it's really sad that Zimbabwe is not here, because they are an awesome country. We know the guys, awesome guys to play against. And I think it's a downfall to the tournament. But up in the tournament is we actually have another country in Botswana that we can play against and expose to the game.
It is definitely a truth. We've got Botswana, we've got Zimbabwe that plays, we know Malawi plays. So we've got a lot of up and coming indoor countries. Now, what's it going to take for Africa to get into the top six at the World Cup? Whether it's you, whether it's South Africa, whether it's Botswana. And how exciting would it be to have two African sides at the next World Cup?
Is that for me or for DJ?
You look like you want to answer it.
I think, yes, for another African country to get into the top six at the World Cup would, yeah, I think, thankfully, because we are sending more and more players overseas to play and gain that exposure and gain just a different understanding of the game, tactics, you know, physical, mental, as more teams start competing, as we start playing more games, as the standard and the level starts picking up and the competitiveness within us as a continent starts growing, and we start diversifying in those areas, I think we can really start competing at that stage. I feel at a deeper level, what's the word, talent-wise, we can definitely compete with them. I think there's just some fundamentals that we still need to learn and grow as we gain experience. Competing with countries like Holland and Germany obviously have so much experience. But I think as there's more clubs, or teams, sorry, that enter the scene, we'll be able to grow, and the competitiveness will just help us climb the ladder.
And why do you think it is that Namibia have excelled so much at indoor hockey, both men and women, and it's still a little bit behind in terms of the field hockey? What is the big differentiator there?
I think for us personally, as kids growing up, the fact that we have had this PSI element where we've been exposed to so much indoor hockey, and just starting an HP program within the men's and the women, where the competition and the competitiveness amongst one another has driven us to just keep improving and gaining experience. We've had a lot of players play overseas, and I think as that has grown with the foundations that Trevor's been putting in place, the amount of exposure we've been gaining at a young age, it just helped us climb. And I think because we're so small and have a small talent pool, we're able to compete really well in the indoor and still growing in the outdoor.
And DJ, I mean, you went with the indoor women's side to the last World Cup as one of the assistant coaches. How much did that fuel your hunger to get there yourself?
It was actually quite tough dealing with it first. You know, I won't be playing and the SA boys walking past me with their smiles on their faces. But always friendly, we're all friends, but it was in my heart, it was a bit disappointing not being able to play there. And that's why, again, why we are here. We also want to go there. And we want to go compete, and we want to put Africa on the map there, and not just go there, like we said, not just take part, but compete. And I think our African style of hockey would, if we play it right, it can make a big impact on the world stage.
I've asked this to the South African guys I chatted to earlier, but I'm going to make you put your head on the block. Who, and you're not allowed to give the same answers, you have to pick someone different, but who's going to be Namibia's top goal scorer this week?
Personally, I would probably pick Liam Hermanus as our front runner, as our striker. I would back him and hope that he'd be our top goal scorer.
I'm going to go on our Olympia and give it to one of our lighties, JB Brits. I think he's an amazing talent coming through, and I'm going to back him.
Yeah, JP Brits. And it's his brothers down there, huh?
Yes.
The brothers.
Yes.
Yeah, so the brother Brits, of course, Namibia have a nice history with brothers. So hopefully they will continue that great tradition. The other thing is, obviously, DJ didn't mention it earlier, but no fans. What is going to be your trademark symbol to the camera that people at home know this is for them? Cody?
So we've got a bit of a thing as a team where whoever scores points to whoever passed, and then we point to the sky. And I think that's just a reminder for us and for our country for who we're playing for. Just to involve one another in that.
Okay, that's a good one. But DJ, I'm going to make you go a step further and say, for your wife watching at home, how does she know that certain save was for her?
That's a difficult one. My wife is actually very distraught not to be here. I left her crying at the airport. But trust me, I don't need to do anything because I will hear in the back of my helmet throughout every game that I play. And that's just the small amount of support I and my team have from back home. There's a lot of people backing us.
Yeah, it's not going to be Bluetooth speakers. It's going to be red heart speakers. That was as cheesy as it comes, but probably right to the heart. DJ, from the minute I walked in this afternoon and saw you, once again greeted with the same respect that the Million team always gives me, even though I am actually a South African media officer. It's always great. It's great to see the focus. I can see you're dying to get on that field, and all I can say is from Hockey the Podcast, from our listeners, we wish you the best of luck out there. I know that you're going to do this, but play hard and honor God.
There you go. Thank you very much, Jabu. Just before we end off, I would just like to use your platform just to thank MTC again. From the men and women's sides, they have really no idea how much we appreciate it and what they are doing for us. So just again from our side, thank you, MTC.
Yeah, thank you, MTC. Thank you, SPA, and thank you, Farco, the two sponsors for the tournament. Hockey is not a top-tier sport in terms of sponsors, but it is a top-tier sport in terms of the quality of people involved, and companies like MTC are making a step in the right direction for the sport to get the platform that it deserves. Gents, good luck. I look forward to seeing you in action tomorrow. I apologize if the commentary is too loud, but I can't promise to keep it down. I'll make sure that we make up for the lack of crowds there going crazy. But thank you for joining me before your dinner.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
And for recording that twice. So that's wrapping things up here at Hockey the Podcast at the Riverside Hotel. The action gets underway tomorrow. Tomorrow for me is Friday the 15th or 16th of April. I can't even see the date. The 16th of April from 9 o'clock. All the action is live on the Raider Media YouTube page. You can watch it on Watch Hockey the app. But ultimately, at the end of these 3 days, there will be kings and queens of Africa. They will be going to the World Cup. They will be flying the African flag on behalf of the whole continent. And the question is, will it be South Africa? Will it be Namibia? Or will it be Botswana? Find out soon.